Well, we are indeed celebrating a great weekend this weekend with the pastors that have returned from Guatemala to join us. So I'd like to invite to the stage Diego Cena, and his interpreter Heather Lopez, a Woodaler here that speaks enough Spanish to be able to help us understand him. So thank you for coming.
Gracias.
Buenos días a todos.
Good morning, everyone.
Mi nombre es Diego Tiná, vengo de Guatemala.
My name is Diego Tiná, and I'm from Guatemala.
Quiero compartirles cómo entregué mi vida a Jesús.
I want to share with all of you how I gave my life to Christ.
En Guatemala hay una costumbre.
In Guatemala, there is a custom.
Cuando un predicador hace la invitación, si alguien entrega su vida a Jesús.
When a minister offers invitation for people to give their life to Christ.
Los padres comienzan a decir a sus hijos, pasen, pasen, todos.
All the parents start to tell their kids.
Entreguen sus vidas a Jesús.
Go forward, go forward, give your life to Christ.
Entonces, a la edad de 10 años, yo tuve la inquietud.
And so at the age of 10, I started to have that feeling inside of me.
Pregunto a mi papá y le digo, ¿ya acepté a Jesús?
And I said to my dad, so I accepted Jesus into my heart?
Mi papá me dice, pregúntele a su mamá.
And my dad said, ask your mom.
y cuando voy con mi mamá,
and when I went with my mom,
me dice, pregúntele a su papá.
She said, ask your dad.
Era un problema.
I've got a problem.
Entonces comencé a buscar por mis propio esfuerzo de niño.
I started to search and do more looking around and investigating for my own self.
Pasé 4 años.
I spent 4 years
preguntándome si soy hijo de Dios o no.
Asking myself if I was a child of God or no.
Hasta los 13 años que entendí que tenía que reconocer que soy pecador.
Until when I was 13, I finally realized that I have to recognize I am a sinner.
Y entregué mi vida a Jesús.
And I gave my life to Christ.
Recibí el perdón de Él.
I received His blessing and His...
Desde los 13 años hasta la fecha soy feliz.
And I've been happy ever since I was 13.
Llevo 25 años de ser pastor de la iglesia.
I've been a pastor for 25 years.
Tenemos 4 iglesias hijas o plantaciones de iglesias.
And we now have 4 daughter churches under ours.
Recibí una iglesia con 90 miembros.
I started with my church when we started we had 90 members.
La iglesia que pastoreo ahora tiene 500 miembros.
And now it has 500 members.
Tenemos un colegio donde atendemos 140 niños.
We have a school where we have 140 students that attend.
Y abrimos una obra en una aldea donde tenemos ahora 46 familias.
And they started another project where they have 46 families that are involved.
En esa aldea la pobreza es demasiado.
In this community there's terrible poverty.
La ignorancia es demasiado bajo.
And lots of ignorant people.
Y también muchos hombres abandonan a sus mujeres.
Many men leave their families, leave their wives, abandon them.
Abandonan a sus hijos.
They leave their children.
Hace 7 años que nosotros comenzamos la obra ahí.
And 7 years ago when they started working with these families.
Lo primero que encontramos es que las mamás quieren regalar a sus hijos.
The first thing they learned was that the moms want to give their children away.
Hemos hecho un esfuerzo en esa aldea de poder proveer alimentos para los niños.
And they're now providing food for those children.
Y gracias a Dios, el grupo de Woodell que llegan allá.
And thanks to God, the Woodell group who has gone to this community.
Con ellos programamos jornadas médicas.
With them they've planned medical missions.
Y ellos llevan algunos zapatos para los niños descalzos.
And they've brought down shoes for the children.
Y también algunos útiles escolares para los niños que están en la escuela.
And they've brought down school supplies also for the children who are in those schools.
En 7 años hemos logrado un poco, no todo.
In 7 years, they've started to make some progress. They haven't reached their goals.
Y estamos trabajando con las mujeres a hacerles conciencia.
We're starting to work with the women to make them aware
que los hijos es una herencia de Dios.
That their children are a blessing from God.
Merecen tener a Jesús en su casa.
they deserve to have Jesus Christ in their home.
Que sus vidas sean diferentes a sus papás.
And they want their children's lives to be different from their father's.
Y solo el evangelio puede abrir los ojos.
Only the gospel can open their eyes.
A los padres y a los hijos.
To the parents and the children.
Gracias. ¿Tienen alguna pregunta?
Thank you. Does anyone have a question for him? Has anyone here been a part of the Woodville trips that have gone down? Estas personas han ayudado en Guatemala.
Sí.
Great.
What are the greatest needs at this point to continue? What are their needs right now?
¿Cuáles son las necesidades más grandes que tienen ahora?
Educación.
Education.
Educación y mucho evangelismo.
And spreading the gospel.
Les construimos casas a algunas familias.
Oh, okay. Sorry, the question was, what is their greatest need right now? And he answered education and helping spread the gospel. ¿Algo más? Perdón.
Les construimos casas a las familias también.
They're also constructing homes for the families in this area.
Y lo hacemos como una forma evangelística.
¿Cómo?
Les decimos, ahora tienen una casa en el mundo, en este mundo. Pregúntese si tiene casa arriba con Jesús.
So they're constructing them in the way that they tell them, now you have your earthly home, and imagine what your heavenly home will be like.
Y les compartimos el alimento, y les decimos, este es un pan que se termina, pero hay otro que dice, yo soy el pan de vida, y que no termina, y es Jesús.
So when they're giving them their food, they talk about this is the bread of life, this is your food here on earth, but this food runs out. But someday you will have abundant food that will never run out.
Y así hemos logrado entrar con las familias porque nos ha costado mucho, porque ellos son gentes idólatras.
¿Cómo tienen ídolos?
Sí, sí.
So it's hard because this community is used to worshiping idols. And so they really have their work cut out for them to get them to change their attitude and their beliefs.
Pero gracias a Dios, Dios nos ha abierto las puertas y tenemos entrada en los hogares.
But God is opening the doorway for them and helping them reach these people.
En el mes de diciembre juntamos a todos los niños de la comunidad, más o menos como unos 600 niños.
In December they got all the children of the community together, about 600 kids.
Les compartimos la palabra de Dios.
They shared the word of God.
Les regalamos unos dulces.
They gave them some
hacemos
candies
piñata.
And treats. They made piñatas.
Y les compartimos un pedacito de pastel.
And they shared some cake with them.
Y eso hemos logrado con esta comunidad.
And this is one of the great things they've accomplished with this community. The question was if the Catholic influence is strong in his area or if it's like other religions or cults. ¿Quiere saber si la influencia de los católicos es muy fuerte ahí o si son otras religiones o quiénes son las influencias que no sean cristianas?
Ajá, sí está un poco la influencia católica, pero no es tanto el temor nuestro. El temor nuestro es la gente que hacen maldades o podemos decir los brujos, porque es un lugar donde hay muchos hechiceros o brujos.
Okay, so there is some influence of Catholicism, but he said that's not really their biggest fear. The biggest thing they're working against is this is a small area, people are... They don't have a big worldly perspective. There's lots of like witchcraft and people that believe in magic and spells and things like that. And so they're working against those influences. The question was, how do the women whose husbands have abandoned them support themselves and their families? Para las mujeres cuyas esposos los han abandonado, ¿cómo proveen para sus familias?
Ese es el gran problema. Por eso quieren regalar a sus hijos.
Regalar como que ya no los pueden criar.
Sí, no los quieren criar, no pueden criarlos más.
So that's the big problem, is they can't really provide for their families, and that's why many of them want to give their children away.
Hay niños que no comen durante un día.
There are kids who don't eat in an entire day.
Los hemos encontrado dormidos entre los cafetales.
They found them sleeping like out in the plantation areas, in the street.
Sí, y a veces piden si hay un pan, hay algo.
They're in the streets asking, begging for food, for bread.
y hay familias donde toma licor el papá y toma la mamá también.
Many families have a presence of alcoholism too, both of the parents often.
Hay otros niños que los han llevado a un lugar donde los cuidan.
Some kids have been taken to a place where they're taken care of, like un orfanato.
Sí, más o menos con el gobierno los llevan.
Kind of like an orphanage, the government has taken them to provide a better place.
Les han
place
quitado esos niños a sus papás.
Some have been taken from their homes to be more taken care of. The question was, where is the community located? ¿Dónde está esa aldea?
Está en el pueblo donde yo estoy, Santiago Atitlán, a 12 kilómetros de Santiago Atitlán está.
So it's about 12 kilometers away from the city where he is from.
Se llama Cerro de Oro.
Cerro de Oro, it's called.
Y nosotros ahorita levantamos otra misión. Dos misiones tenemos ahí ahorita.
And they have two missions in this area. Como dos proyectos.
Sí, dos centros.
So two, they have two centers with churches and where they're helping the families.
Y nombramos a dos líderes de la iglesia de nosotros y ellos están trabajando allá.
And they've sent two of their leaders from their main church to be in charge at these other two.
Ellos hacen un estudio de casas, de ropa, de comida y nos llevan a nosotros. Cualquier equipo que llega, nosotros le decimos hay necesidad de casa, hay necesidad de alimento, hay necesidad de útiles escolares o cualquier necesidad nosotros tenemos informado.
So they do sort of a survey before they send their groups and they figure out what are the real needs there. Is it clothing? Is it school supplies? Is it food? So that they really make the best use of their time when they go to there to serve in these projects. The question was if he could tell the story about how they have planted their other churches. Si nos puede contar la historia de cómo empezaron sus otras iglesias, sus iglesias hijas.
Yo agradezco a Dios. En 1996 vine acá a Woodell por primera vez.
I'm very grateful to God. In 1996 I came to Woodell for the first time.
Y aprendí tres cosas que estoy aplicando a la iglesia.
And I learned three things that I'm applying back home at my church.
Número uno, el misionero es aquel que va.
First of all, the missionary is the one who goes, whoever goes.
Pero también es misionero aquel que no va, pero da.
But also a missionary can be someone who doesn't go, but who gives.
También es misionero aquel que no va y no da, pero ora mucho por la misión.
And another type of a missionary can be someone who maybe they can't go, they can't give money, but they can pray.
Y esa es lo que estoy enseñando a la iglesia. ¿Usted quiere ir, quiere dar o quiere orar?
And this is what he's sharing with his church. Do you want to go, do you want to give, or do you want to pray?
Entonces la iglesia ha respondido y nosotros comenzamos antes de abrir una obra, orar un tiempo, un año.
The church has responded and they started back in April praying about the church.
Y comenzamos el evangelismo allá es diferente. Comenzamos a predicar en las calles.
They started spreading the gospel in the streets.
A veces bajo lluvia.
Sometimes in the rain.
A veces hay aire, pero no importamos, predicamos en la calle.
Doesn't matter what kind of weather or climate they're experiencing, they're out there in the streets.
La primera persona que acepta a Jesús, hacemos el contacto con él.
So the first person that they can reach that accepts Christ, they make that contact.
Después hacemos contacto con su familia.
Then they go to that person's family.
Después con sus vecinos.
Then with his neighbors.
Con sus amigos.
And that person's friends.
Y así comenzamos el trabajo.
And that's how they start their work. So starting with one person and building based on the people in that person's life.
Have you been able to stop the fathers from leaving the
streets? The question was if they've been able to stop the issue of the fathers abandoning the families. ¿Han podido, han logrado ayudar en algo con el número de padres que han abandonado a las madres y las familias? ¿O sigue habiendo muchos?
Hemos logrado muy poco. En 7 años hemos hecho conciencia más o menos a unos 15 padres que han vuelto a sus hogares.
So it's a slow improvement. In 7 años, dijo? In 7 years,
durante 7 años.
They've reached about 15 fathers who have returned home to their families.
Okay.
Lo único que a veces no dejan porque es un vicio para ellos es el licor.
The hardest thing to give up though is the alcohol. That is such an addiction for many of them that that's been very difficult to give up.
Pero también creemos que solamente Dios tiene el poder para cambiarlos.
But they know that only God can really change their hearts in that issue.
Porque uno de los problemas grandes no solamente los papás están tomando, aún los hijos. Hay muchachos de 13 años ya toman.
And it's such a problem that oftentimes when the dads drink, it spreads down into the family, and even children, sometimes as young as 13, are starting to drink. Okay, the question was if they're getting any help from Samaritans First, or what was the other one? Oh. From organizations, yeah, like Feed My Starving Children. Tienen enlaces con algunos programas que ayudan a mandar ropa o utensilios escolares, o donde, ¿cómo se reúnen esas
no
cosas?
No tenemos. Los únicos contactos de los grupos que van, entonces les pedimos, si hay niños que no usan sus zapatos, que te lo traigan, sus playeras, sus pantalonetas, para que nosotros podamos distribuir a esos niños.
La gente de aquí.
Sí, la gente de aquí.
So they really rely on the groups that come from Wooddale to bring extra shoes they're not using anymore, or school supplies or clothing.
Y cuando tenemos una ofrenda, nosotros vamos a un lugar donde nosotros llamamos en Guatemala pacas. Sí, ropas usadas, y escogemos y compramos.
So the one thing they can do sometimes when they have enough money gathered from their offerings is they can go to a place where they can buy used clothing for a cheaper price, and they'll bring it back to give to the children. What kind of government does Guatemala have? Was there enough second part?
What is the role of the government in their
Okay. What is the role of the government in Guatemala in their church and in their lives? ¿Cuál es el papel del gobierno? ¿Cómo es el gobierno de Guatemala? ¿Y si les ayuda o si no están para nada presente en este esfuerzo?
Hay programas de ayuda, pero no es abasto para atender. Por ejemplo, al otro lado del lago está San Pablo La Laguna. Y San Pablo La Laguna es declarado de la desnutrición con los niños completo, y el gobierno está atendiendo esos lugares donde hay desnutrición completa.
So there is a little bit of help from the government, but they are tending to help other areas that have maybe a bit bigger need or are more well known. En esa área es más conocida que
sí, San Marcos, San Pablo son más conocidos por el gobierno ahora.
So the government recognizes those areas more because they have they're known for their malnutrition and their poverty. ¿Qué tipo de gobierno es? ¿Hay democracia?
Sí, es democrático.
It's a democracy.
Aunque es un coronel, pero es democrático.
It is a democracy, supposedly, but it doesn't always look that way. Entonces, ¿hay una forma de que puedan llamar más la atención al gobierno, o es porque es tan pequeño que no les han ayudado mucho?
Sí, son pequeños, son varias aldeas que el gobierno no ha podido llegar porque, bueno, la necesidad no es tan grande para el gobierno porque son aldeas chiquitas.
Yeah, so they're just such isolated small communities that the government maybe doesn't even know about it. They're going to other bigger areas that need more help.
Lo que el gobierno está haciendo, por ejemplo, en San Pablo y San Marcos, ahorita comenzaron a construir una clínica para niños.
In these two other bigger areas, the government has started by constructing a medical clinic for children.
Y allá se está mandando ayudas también, por ejemplo, arroz ya prefabricado en bolsa. Se está mandando a esos lados también.
They're sending like packaged rice to those areas, so that helps with food. Pero nada a sus aldeas.
Sí, en estos lugares donde nosotros estamos son lugares que están muy dejados.
So nothing, they haven't, in their communities they haven't received any of that governmental aid yet. What can we as a class do to help? ¿Qué pueden hacer ellos como clase para ayudar como iglesia?
Lo primero que podrán hacer es que oren por esta gente y que sus ojos estén abiertos para ver la luz del Evangelio.
The first and most important thing would be to pray for these communities that their eyes would be opened to the Word of God.
Porque a veces entendemos puede ser una maldición que ha quedado porque los padres, los abuelos han rechazado rotundamente el Evangelio.
Mm-hmm. They're up against years of sin and poor choices that the families have made, and so they're really just trying to change the way of life completely. The question was, do they need Bibles in Spanish, and is the population literate to be able to use them? ¿Necesitan Biblias en español? ¿Y si pueden leer? ¿Pueden leer la gente?
Sí, bastante, bastante necesitamos. A veces nosotros compramos, pero no podemos comprar muchos. Son pocos y estamos capacitando, porque hay algunos. Ahorita hay padres que no pudieron estudiar, pero tenemos un programa para adultos, para que puedan leer y escribir. Ahora les estamos proveyendo a algunos para que sepan a leer y a escribir, y ellos necesitan Biblias en español.
Pero la gran mayoría no lee.
Sí, ahorita hemos logrado con un 35% de gente más o menos jóvenes. Ahora, adultos, la mayoría no lee.
So they do have a great need for Bibles in Spanish. About 35% of their adults, no, about 35% of the people there do read, but many of those are young people. The older adults, most of them are not literate. So they're working on starting some programs and classes to try to help them learn to read. But yes, they do need Bibles. He said that it's expensive for them to buy. So that might be a way that we could help.
Porque lo menos un padre de familia gana entre 20 y 25 quetzales en un día.
So the average family makes about 20 or 25 quetzales, which is their currency, in a day. ¿Cuánto es eso en dólares?
Son como $3.
Like $3 a day.
Y mínimo tiene 6 hijos.
And minimum they have about 6 kids in a family.
Y los niños duermen en el puro pavimento de la casa.
The children sleep on the floor, on cement floors in homes. How many families total in these communities? ¿Cuántas familias en total hay en esas aldeas aproximadamente?
En esa aldea aproximadamente hay como unas 2,000 familias.
About 2,000 families.
Porque alrededor de habitantes ahorita ya casi tienen 15 a 16 mil personas.
So in the surrounding area there's about 15 to 16,000 people, like in the outskirts. So in these communities it's about 2,000. Was there another one over here? The question was, does the government provide any education at all for the children? ¿El gobierno provee algo de escuela, de educación para los hijos, los niños?
Sí, la educación a nivel nacional es ahora, en la democracia que tenemos en Guatemala, es gratis.
So the current, under their current system, education is free.
La mayoría de los niños con mucho esfuerzo terminan su sexto grado de primaria.
With a lot of luck, most kids finish about sixth grade, he says.
Eso es lo mucho que llegan.
That's about the maximum.
Y ahí se quedan y comienzan a trabajar todos.
And that's where they stop, and then they have to start working.
Porque no pueden seguir el básico.
They can't continue.
Mucho menos el secundario.
And they usually don't make it to high school.
Y esa es la lucha que tenemos. Quisiéramos que en nuestro colegio hemos buscado algunos apadrinamientos.
Esos son mentores.
Sí, no, padrinos que proveen educación para los niños.
Oh,
que ellos pagan.
Okay, so they're starting to look for families who can help pay for more education to keep kids going, so they don't have to stop and work. They're looking for like godparents, kind of people that can help by supporting with money.
Se toma la foto del niño, se hace un cuadro de biografía, y cada dos meses manda una nota para su padrino.
Eso es gente de aquí.
Sí, gente de los
Okay,
Estados
so this
Unidos.
Is people in the States that can like sponsor a child. They're trying to get this started, where you get a picture and you get a little biography of the child, and then every 2 months you can send money.
Al año tiene un costo de $336, que incluye todo el estudio y su uniforme a colegios cristianos.
So for $336 annually, you can support a child, and that supports their school, their uniform, algo más, educación, uniforme,
y su útil escolar y su
and their backpack and school supplies.
Por un año.
For 1 year. Is this something that we know about at Wooddale? I'm sort of new to the Guatemala program, so is anyone familiar with this, that this program exists? Okay. Tenemos que saber más información porque seguramente la gente es algo, something concrete that we can help support with. Okay, I see like three more. Let's take yours. The question was, when they've sat down with the men, did they get an answer as to why they left their families? Quiere saber si cuando han hablado con los padres que han abandonado a sus familias, pero los 15 que regresaron, ¿qué dijeron? ¿Por qué los abandonaron?
El problema es de que un padre abandona a su esposa, a sus hijos, y se junta con otra mujer, y ahí a veces tiene dos o tres hijos con la otra, entonces le cuesta mucho regresar. Porque tiene hijos acá y tiene por el otro lado.
So oftentimes the men, when they leave their families, they end up with another woman, and they might start another family with that woman. And so then they've got children all around, and it's hard for them to return to their family. It's, I think, a lot of shame, and they've got many children from different wives.
Los que tienen posibilidades de regresar son aquellos que no tienen hijos todavía con la otra.
The ones that they've had the most success with returning are those who have not started additional families with other women. There was another question, I think.
Bueno, yo quiero dar gracias a Dios porque en cuanto a la pobreza en el pueblo donde yo soy, yo lo viví un tiempo.
He gives thanks to God because the poverty in his area, he lived it as well as a child.
Porque yo hasta la edad de 11 años tuve el primer par de zapatos.
So he had one pair of shoes until the time he was 11 years old.
En la escuela yo no tenía zapatos.
At school he didn't have shoes.
Entonces me identifico rápido con la gente necesitada.
So he really identifies with the communities that they work with because he's lived that life himself.
Yo les agradezco por el apoyo a Bridge Builders, el equipo que sale de acá. En una u otra forma ustedes han colaborado. Muchas gracias.
He says thank you so much for all the support from Wooddale and Bridge Builders, the groups that have sent their support, and he's very grateful.
Si quieren saber más de todos estos proyectos, podemos hablar en cualquier momento.
If you'd like to know any more about their projects, he'd be happy to talk with you at any time.
Gracias por el frío.
Thank you for the cold.
Thank you very much.
I've never had to have a translator, but since I have one, I'd like for her to translate a prayer that Diego can listen to and understand. Father, thank you so much for Diego's ministry.
Señor, te agradecemos por el ministerio de Diego y su comunidad en Guatemala.
Help us to continue to further the education of that country.
Ayúdanos a ayudar a continuar la educación en su país.
Thank you for that realization that there is a heavenly home.
Gracias porque tenemos el conocimiento de que algún día vamos a tener una casa eterna contigo en el cielo.
Lord, please continue to open the doors for this ministry to continue to bless those 600 children that they're working with.
Señor, continúa abriendo puertas ahí en Guatemala. Continúa bendiciendo esos 600 niños con quienes están trabajando.
Help us to continue to pray, to give, and to go.
Ayúdanos a nosotros aquí a continuar a orar, a dar y a ir, si podemos.
Thank you for teaching people like Heather how to speak two languages.
Gracias por ayudarnos a la gente como a mí y como a mucha gente para aprender dos idiomas.
Lord, we lift all this up to you in your name. Jesus Christ, amen.
Te alabamos, Señor, y te pedimos todo esto en tu nombre. Amén.
Amen. Let's give him a hand.
for coming. We appreciate you spending the time and sharing with us. It's, we have many people who have been a part of our class and are a part of our class that go to Guatemala. So we're thankful for the fact that we can hear from one of the pastors who can come and can share with us. Sure.
I was just notified that there is an opportunity through Wooddale Worldwide to start doing that sponsoring of a child in the Guatemala, in the system that we're talking about. So check with Wooddale Worldwide through the website or just call the church.
Thank you. And we appreciate Heather as well for translating. Did a really good job of translating and taking your questions, repeating them. I think I need to have her up here for our question period so that we can get them repeated to everybody. I got 10 minutes. So I'm going to have to do this real rapidly. I guess I do need a translator, huh? If you have your Bibles, open them to Hebrews chapter 11. We're currently studying the book of Hebrews in this winter wonderland that we experience. I feel this last week I've been driving around on the moon all week. Rough roads. But it's a wonderful winter. Why? Because we as believers aren't tempted to spend a lot of time outdoors, and so therefore we can be indoors and we can study the Word and we can read books, and it's been wonderful. I've been able to pull out books and start books anyway that I haven't before, so there's always an advantage to our walk with the Lord in times of severe weather or whatever where we can spend more time with Him. What a great thing. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. And obviously we're not going to get very far, but there are things that I want us to take a look at or get to a certain point and perhaps pose a question for you to be thinking about this next week. We are in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 22. By faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph trusted God for the future. They are all listed in the Hall of Faith. We've looked at Abraham before. We will look at Abraham again because he's brought back into the picture again under the direction of the Holy Spirit in this great book that we have been looking at in the book of Hebrews and another incident in his life. So as we take a look at our Hall of Faith, by faith Abel brought the right sacrifice. By faith Enoch walked with God. By faith Noah preached and built. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah conceived at age 90. By faith, Isaac looked forward. By faith, Jacob looked forward. And by faith, Joseph looked forward. In this particular passage, let's just read this through. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning the bones. So the first part of this, the first three verses that we're looking at here, is the account of Abraham in him being asked to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac. That is found in Genesis 22, 1 to 18, and I want to read through this passage as well with you. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering. And arose, and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. They came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seeds shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. This is God's inerrant, inspired, infallible word. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 2:18, when we're wondering as we work our way through this where Mount Moriah is, it tells us in 2 Chronicles 2:18 that then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. If we take a look at where Abraham was at the time down in Beersheba, which we have down in this area right here, he had to travel, which was about 42 miles, which would have been a good three-day journey on up here to Jerusalem. And that's where he was asked in that area to offer his son. So if we take a look at Jerusalem in the old city, we can see that where you know where the Dome of the Rock is, you'll notice that Mount Moriah is up here, and you can get some perspective on where this is located at. Not off by itself, but in an area where one of the mounts would have been picked out by God and told Abraham exactly where to offer his son. So again, if you step back and take a look at where we're at, if you're looking at the Kindred Valley, which runs down through here, you can see where it talks about the Kindred Valley, and you see Mount Moriah, you see the dome there. So approximately in that area is where he was asked to take his son, Abraham was, and to make his way up to that area, and there he was to offer him. If we think of what was going on here, it was quite a unbelievable thing that Abraham was asked to do. It required tremendous faith on his part that this is what God, in fact, wanted him to do, to offer his son, his only son, upon the altar. But at the time, as it says here, when he was ready to offer his son, to thrust perhaps the knife into the boy's chest, he was stopped by an angel and was a word came that for him to not offer his son at that point. So it says that by faith Abraham, when he was tested, this was a real test of his faith, it says he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Now that is familiar to us because in John 3:16, that same phrase is used, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he whoever that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You compare that with Hebrews 11:17 here, and again you have begotten son used here, you have begotten son used here. Now, between those two, you understand that we understand it from our perspective. Obviously, Abraham did not understand what was coming, exactly how the Messiah would come, how Genesis 3:15 would be fulfilled, and so on. But from our perspective, we see a similarity here, a type back in the Old Testament of a parent, a father offering his son. So when you come to the New Testament and you come to the person of Jesus Christ, who was the only begotten son of the Father, the only unique son of the Father. And that's what makes this all the more interesting, because Abraham was asked to offer his only unique son. There weren't a couple of sons or several sons or whatever. This was the son that came through Sarah, and as a result, this was the one that was going to be a blessing through his descendants to the world. And so it says, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. So the pressure, so to speak, is on this son, so to speak, as we look at it, and as we see that it was his descendants that were going to be a blessing to the world, and eventually, as we know, the Messiah was going to come. And now this hope for the world and for a nation being born out of this, which in turn would give us the Lord Jesus Christ, was being asked to be sacrificed, and as you would look at it, you would think, this is the end of the hope. How can God ask Abraham to do something such as this? Abraham held out one hope here, for in verse 19 it says, Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. So here we see Abraham believing in the hope that he understood that there would be a resurrection, that God was able to take Isaac after Isaac had been sacrificed and raise him back again from the dead. And so there would be a type of resurrection here that Abraham would witness. Sacrificing of oneself in terms of a spiritual sense is talked about, for instance, in Romans 12:1, where it says, therefore, Paul says to the Romans, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. If you go back to verse 19, you'll notice the word that's used here, the word considered, is actually an accounting term. It means to take an estimate. It means to understand what the cost would be. And the word logizomai has that reasoning type of ability to it. And so when you come over here, then to Romans 12, you'll notice he says, which is your spiritual service of worship. Again, that same word, logizomai, is used, which means this is the reasonable thing to do. So Abraham considered it, and now we are asked with our bodies to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, because that's the reasonable thing to do. Again, based on the first 11 chapters of Romans, where it is so very delineated for us what God has done for us in salvation. Now, when we take a look at Abraham, what faith must overcome and what Abraham had to overcome in his life, there are five things, and I'm only going to get to a couple of them here this morning, and I'm going to go fairly rapidly, and we'll probably revisit this next week again. But in your life, when you are asked, when you take a look at the Word of God, what you must overcome in your life, what your faith must overcome are several things. And five of them here, I think, were facing Abraham, and that's true of you as well. When God calls you to do something, when you read something in the Word, when you're applying the Word of God to your life, and you need to exercise faith, you may have to overcome one or two or all five of these. First of all is doubt. Abraham could have said, I doubt this really is the Word of God. I mean, how can God be asking me to do that? Maybe this isn't the Word of God. Maybe I'm not hearing God correctly. Maybe this wasn't God. Or I doubt this is what God really wants me to do. As I take a look at what he's asking me to do, how could this possibly happen? James chapter 1, 5 through 8 talks about doubt. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So God doesn't want us to doubt. Our tendency is to doubt. Does God really want me to do this? Does this seem reasonable? Second of all is feelings. When you get in a situation like this, you have to deal with your feelings. Because right away, you're going to say to yourself, boy, in my gut or in my feelings, I don't feel like this is right and this is what God wants me to do. And that's one of the hardest, toughest things you'll ever have to face. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. The heart is the seat of emotion. It's the seat of feelings. And feelings are something that come and go. As I've said before on many occasions, I've never met a feeling I could trust. Whether it is a happy feeling or it is a sad feeling. We don't walk by feelings. We don't walk with the Lord by feelings. We walk by faith. Not by sight. 2 Corinthians 6:12 says, Paul says to the Corinthians, you are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections or in your own emotions or in your own feelings. All of us have failed to exercise faith in our lives because of feelings that we have that are true, that are true of what we feel, and as a result, we don't move out and exercise faith. Third is reasoning. Reasoning. Abraham and all of us, we get into a point where we need to exercise faith, and we a lot of times can be blocked by our own reasoning. For instance, we can say, well, maybe it's from Satan. Maybe what I'm experiencing, what I think is from God, maybe it's really from Satan. Because God certainly wouldn't ask me to do this. Abraham could have said that. Secondly, God could not possibly give such a command. I mean, how can he do this? I don't want to come back to that after I just give you these and leave you with a question and then we'll close this morning. Third, no way God wants me to break the law and kill my child. Fourth, what will the world think? It just doesn't make sense. Why would God violate an earlier promise he has made? Now, when you read this account, there is a giant ethical question that comes up here. And if you haven't asked it, or believers around you haven't asked it, if you talk to an unbeliever who is mindful of this particular passage of Scripture, you can very easily get this thrown into your face. What's the ethical question here? Somebody who takes a look at this account as to what's going on here, what's the ethical question?
Why would God kill?
Okay. Why would God kill? Why would he order somebody to kill an innocent child? Have you ever thought about that in this passage? Why would that happen? Why could he do that? How could he do that? Morally. How could anybody do it today? If you were asked today to kill another human being, they did not commit a crime, on a legal level living in this world. They are innocent. So how is it? How can you justify the fact that God would ask a father to kill an innocent son? You're going to have to come back next week for the answer. But you think about that, because that's an important issue. And a lot of times we don't raise the issue because if we're not out there confronting the world and hearing arguments and people throwing stuff back at us, and this is the kind of thing they'll throw back, we need to have thought it through and have an answer for why this is true. All right, we're past our time. Let's close in prayer, and I'll give you a week to think about this, and then we'll come back and look at it next week. Father, we're thankful for the time that we've had this morning. We're grateful for the pastor that came from the area of Guatemala and shared with us this morning. We pray for their ministry and his ministry, and a difficult ministry in the fact that you're dealing not only with the gospel presentation and seeing people come to know Christ, and it's a work that you have to do in their hearts and calling them out of idolatry, calling them out of superstition, calling them out of witchcraft. And so there are many enemies, and there are people that have been enslaved to things such as this for years and years and years. So we pray for them on that level and for the gospel and the spread of the gospel. And we also pray for them as they're trying to meet desperate needs of starving children and families that have been torn apart, and alcoholism and another whole level of desperate people dealing with desperate lives over vices and things that they've been enslaved to, and problems and difficulties. So we lift them up to you. We lift the church up to you, the believers that are there. They need our prayers. They need our support. They need Bibles. They need things that we can supply for them. And so we pray that we would respond to that need that is there. And we pray that the gospel would go forward and many would come to find the Savior as a result. And we're also thankful this morning for just what we've touched on in this event in the Old Testament of Abraham offering up Isaac. And it touches our own lives, because as we think of children or our children or sons or daughters and what it would take for us if we were asked to do that and what would be involved, and we can see why Abraham, as it's recorded, without hesitation, obeyed you. He obeyed, first of all, in coming out of Ur of the Chaldees and heading towards the Promised Land and leaving behind what he left behind, the securities and so on. And then as he is here, residing in Beersheba, and now asked to sacrifice his only unique son. So it's a tremendous lesson for us. And we can put ourselves somewhat in Abraham's shoes and understand what he was facing, what we would be facing, how doubt or feelings or reasoning would come into play and would prevent us from carrying through and exercising faith and doing and obeying your command. And we face this on a daily basis as we look at the Word and know the Word, and there are things that come into our lives, temptations and testings, where we shrink back from obeying the Word and exercising faith because one of these obstacles takes over our lives and is more important to us, or we bow to it and obey it more than we do the Word. So these things are very, very important for us to look at. So help us as we think through these things and apply them to our lives. For we pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen.